Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at preparations for the nomination court, which sits tomorrow following the expulsion of 24 opposition lawmakers and several councillors of the Citizens Coalition for Change by one Sebenzo Shabangu. But first, let us take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. Israel's airstrikes and military operations in retaliation for the October 7 Hamas terror attacks are broadly supported inside Israel, but signs of dissent are emerging among some Jewish American communities. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports.
The Hamas terror attacks against Israelis shocked Jewish Americans who have held rallies in support of Israel and in memory of the victims. Yair Lev, originally from Jerusalem, shared his views during a rally in Philadelphia.
It's about condemning the worst crime in the last 80 years, anti-Semite, anti-the Jews. And we can't tolerate this, and we have to do something. All of us, no matter what the religion or race, to do whatever we can to support Israel in these terrible times.
Most Jewish Americans polled by Pew Research Center in 2019 and 2020 said they believed caring about Israel was an essential or important part of what being Jewish means to them. But data also showed emerging differences between the younger and older generations, which some analysts say still prevail.
There's much stronger identification with Israel, a much stronger sense that that Israel is part of our identity and part of what it is to be Jewish among older Jews and among more religious Jews. Jews that are both unaffiliated and are younger, you would find that probably a majority of them don't actually very strongly identify with Israel.
Some of the younger Jewish Americans who protested on the U.S. Capitol grounds in mid-October say they were devastated by the Hamas sneak terrorist attack, but disapprove of Israel's military response and the ensuing humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
We are bringing that grief and that pain into the streets to say that this war, this assault on the Palestinian people that is happening right now is not going to keep our relatives safe. It's not going to bring our loved ones back.
Other Jewish American demonstrators have raised concerns about Washington's stance on the conflict.
President Biden, open your eyes. Look at what's happening in Gaza. Look at the devastation in Gaza. If you want to be able to live with yourself, you need to stand up and end the genocide and demand a ceasefire right now.
There needs to be pressure from the United States and from other countries to stop this madness and the war.
Asher Kaufman, a professor of history and peace studies, noted that as Israel's counterattack continues and the death toll from the violence climbs, it becomes more difficult to hold nuanced views on the conflict.
You can condemn the actions that Hamas perpetrated on October 7th. And at the same time, you could also be critical of the Israeli continuous occupation of the West Bank and the siege of Gaza. These two do not cancel each other out in my view, in my mind. But it's very hard now to make these complex observations. People have no patience.
In Kaufman's view, the divide could become even deeper if the humanitarian situation in Gaza worsens. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa attended today the groundbreaking ceremony of the $344 million United States dollars waste-to-energy project run by Geo Pomona Private Limited Company. Last year, the Mnangagwa administration on hand-picked George BV, based in the Netherlands, to partner with the Harare City Council in the waste-to-energy deal. George Nick's BV is fronted by Delish Nguaya, a close associate of the first family.
The Geo Pomona Waste-to-Energy Project I ask the confidence investors they have in the conducive business environment which has been fostered by the Second Republic. Further, it attests to the positive results that can be derived from mutually beneficial partnerships between the public and the private sector. Panapa Paino. Kanakura Kurodi Mukai, right one of the mayor. Masimbo Kota Kashita Moto. Uchiwana Masmai Nana Baba. Masimunguru Kamsino.
That day was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at the groundbreaking ceremony of the waste-to-energy project in Harare. Addressing the ceremony, Harare Mayor Ian Makoni said he was not convinced that this was the best deal for the city and more needed to be done to ensure that it benefits residents who have also been critical of the project. Mayor Makoni speaks to Studio 7's Tobias Mudzingwa on the issue.
Nekuti gorera pera council ye City of Harare, the biggest council, yakaongorora arrangement yekumona ino. Kuona kuti yoje mavagari Harare wakadzidzisa sekekukura. So anything negative is like negative to my
That was Harare Mayor Ian Makoni speaking to Studio 7's Tobias Mudzingwa in Harare. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission today said it was ready for the nomination court, which opens Tuesday following a court ruling that ruled in favor of one Sebenzo Shabangu, who expelled lawmakers and councillors from CCC. Shabangu claims he is the Secretary General of CCC, but the party has denied him. Parties that will be contesting include ZANU-PF, ZAPU, and some members of the CCC. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Today we're discussing preparations for the nomination court, which sits tomorrow. And to discuss the matter, we're joined by Francis Mufambi of ZANU-PF and Tim Muringai of CCC. We'll also be trying to hear from other esteemed guests as we go along. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll start off with you, Mr. Muringai. There's been a lot happening over the weekend, and we saw, one case that was in court that had been taken there by the CCC. Unfortunately, your party didn't win, and Sebenzo Shabangu won the court case, and nominations will start tomorrow. What happens now for your party?
Thank you for having me on your program. Thank you for Mr. Mfambi. My sister, we have a fluid situation in our country right now where we won our seats free and fair despite all the intimidations and everything that went on. We already have all the sad reports that you have seen. And the CCC is a people-centered party. So it's a fluid situation. There's a court decision that was made, but we're still in discussions on the best way forward. So our best way is to get advice from the citizens, and then we'll show you exactly where we are going.
I'll turn over to you, Mr. Francis Mufambi. We see that your party is going to be contesting in these elections. What do you think are your chances? Because we see that most of the seats are in the urban areas. Do you think ZANU-PF has a chance?
Yeah, definitely. I think, let me reiterate that the Revolutionary Party would like to emphasize its adherence to constitutionalism, to the rule of law, to representative democracy. And we are actually dismayed by the actions of a disorganized, structureless, and formless opposition that is abusing state levies. However, on the same note, we are political actors and we are political beings. Hence, we welcome every opportunity to parade ourselves to the electorate and prove to them the commitment that we have in a quest for good and Zimbabwe that we all want, that is stable, that is ideologically grounded, and that is patriotic. So that is common cause, that very cause is necessitated naturally by Mr. Necessary ego and disregard for the values and ethos of our democracy. Hence, it's causing internal inflation that every turning his party. In this modern era, nevertheless, I think you can't be running political parties like oracles or like secret societies. And I need to reiterate that as a party, we are a movement that has been created to serve the people of Zimbabwe and not to babysit the opposition or any other political non-starters. So with regard to the nomination code, ZANU-PF, unlike the opposition, is a people's movement which is always ready for such electoral situations. And we will make sure that the citizens will exercise their democratic rights. And we, as a party, will also maybe launch our colorful campaign in those constituencies, learning from our past experiences to make sure that we win in the urban areas. I think the urban electorate has learned the lesson that there can't be voting parties that do not have structures, that do not have accounts, that do not have addresses. That is my initial submission, nevertheless.
Thank you there, Mr. Mufambi. Over to you, Mr. Muringai. You heard what Mr. Mufambi of ZANU-PF is saying. He's accusing your party, saying that there might have been disorganization. What are we going to see on the ground come tomorrow?
Okay, like I said earlier, the CCC is a people-centered party, and we know that ZANU-PF, having lost the elections on August 23, has violated the people's trust in trying to create a perpetual situation where we are in election. We know that when they were defeated in 2018, they came up with the same scheme. We all know what happened with that. Again, in 2022, they removed some of our MPs for the same reason. So it's their failure to govern, failure to win in free, credible elections, and failure to play by the rules. So they then create all these discrepancies and all these distractions. What the people of Zimbabwe know for a fact is President Chamisa is standing with them. The CCC is the people's party. What will happen tomorrow at the nomination court is a fluid exercise. So we are adjusting as we go, because like we have done, we have gone to the courts rule against us. We have told the courts that the individual that they are recognizing as our Secretary General, a position we do not have, but they still do what they are doing. What they are running away from is the electrical situation in Zimbabwe, where load shedding has come back, unemployment is still not solved, and there is no plan to make sure that Zimbabwean people have the living that they are designed to have with 63 million in the country.
Thank you there. Over to you, Mr. Mufambi. Murikunzwa zvirikutaurwa navamuringai vari kuti bato renyu rezanupf rinogona kunge riine ruoko mune zvatiri kuona zvichiitika izvi. Munoti
that is unfounded in sentiments. Initially, it is important to highlight the history of Shabang. Shabang has been an MDC member, he has been a PDT member, he has been a CCC member. I think you've seen pictures of him at CCC rallies. And it boggles the mind that whenever the CCC has a problem, they have to blame the big brother, which is the Revolutionary Young PF. And it's actually something that you should take, which is of concern, that whenever there is a problem, they don't even take responsibility. What they can only do is to deflect the problem to someone else. And having such kind of leaders is not only dangerous, but it's also slippery and unacceptable. So basically, how did Janet PF make the CCC not to have a constitution? So if you can answer this, how did ZANU-PF make them not to have structures? Is it an idea of ZANU-PF for them to have technical mediate? Actually, it was not. So from that basis, you can realize that these are people who are bankrupt, who are bereft of ideas, and the only other idea that they have is to blame ZANU-PF for their misfortunes. And so your big brother, you know that this is what really ideological bankrupt people. So basically, yeah, we don't take it serious as a party. We take actually the service delivery seriously. Thank you.
Mr. Muringai, you heard there what Mr. Mufambi is saying regarding your party. What do you say?
Okay, thank you very much. It's amazing that Mr. Mufambi knows more about the CCC than the ZANU-PF promises of education, free education for everybody, a good lifestyle for everybody, US dollar for everybody in the pocket. They have failed on their first five-year plan when they got into power in 2018. The only way they can derail the people's project is to create these distractions. But I would like to advise my brother, Mr. Mfambi, that we are not new to this catchinery, and we are focused on having our people represent the needs of everybody that is on the ground. Zimbabwe belongs to Zimbabweans. We are here to say we have 63 minerals, but we don't even have a currency. But they are focused on the constitution of the CCC, whilst they allowed the same CCC members to run in 2022, March 26, when we won 89 out of the 129 seats. There was no problem there. But then when they failed to win in this year plebiscite, where the AU and all our SADC brothers said it was a sham, they are trying to create a two-thirds majority so that they can run roadshed in our country. Our people will rise up. Our people know that the constitution of Zimbabwe is not being followed by ZANU-PF itself, and the creation of jobs and all the other sundry that the government is supposed to provide, healthcare, roads, they have failed in all areas. They have majored in the minor, in which is destroying our party, which is sponsored and supported by the citizens of the country.
Thank you there. Over to you, Mr. Mufambi. You're hearing what Mr. Muringai is saying. He's alleging that your party is doing or working with, you know, some of these members so that your ZANU-PF can get two-thirds majority in parliament. How true is this?
And as I said before, I think it's a very scandalous submission. And I asked him a question, why did ZANU-PF contribute to imposition of candidates? How did ZANU-PF contribute to the strategic ambiguity? How did ZANU-PF contribute to them being structuralists? And he failed to give a proper answer. And actually, the problem that we are raising here is we are dealing with a party that is formless. When we have a party that is formless, then it follows that anyone from the streets, even a street kid, can come in to claim to represent you. And in this case, someone is claiming to represent them. And the court has actually said that person, simulator, fulfilled all the requirements that are needed by Section 129, subsection 1K of the Constitution. So basically, we are not even part of their problems. We are not even part of their misfortunes. We are not even part of their intelligence. But what we are focusing on, like I said, is delivering a Zimbabwe that people want. And Ms. Mirai today is in the United Kingdom, or United States also. It's because of the ZANU PF, which one Zimbabwe for everyone, is because of ZANU PF, which educated every Zimbabwean. It's actually because of the ZANU PF policies. So how do you find this moral high ground to try and blame the party that has shamed millions of lives of the people, and you want to be casting blame on them simply because of these childish games that they are playing inside their party? I find it so critical and unfounded.
Mr. Muringa, you are hearing what Mr. Mufambi is saying, and also maybe let me also just acknowledge some of the people that are streaming with us on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. They've been, you know, putting in their own comments, and we're hoping that we'll get a few callers to call in, because there were a lot of people that wrote in that they would like to be called for this program. But I see here Richard Moyo is saying, you know, we should be asking, but I understand we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Makadi yenyu.
Siyaphila mina ninjani.
Siyaphila. Taura yenyu.
What the agenda of the topic that you are talking about?
We're talking about the nomination court sitting tomorrow. What's your view?
Okay, if you are talking about the nomination court, that is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
It may happen because the citizens calling for change, we are not going to participate in those directions, because we know that those directions are fake.
Okay, so you're saying that, are you a member of the Citizens Coalition for Change?
Yes, I'm a member of CCC.
Okay, so you're saying you're not going to be participating, you're not going to be voting?
No, we are not going to vote for this. We are not going to be participating or taking any of any campaigns in this election. That's good, you know. That's the thing that they are not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much there. We are hearing there from Mr. Nare, who's a caller, who's saying he feels that the CCC will not participate in this election. Mr. Muringai, what's your take on what the caller is saying?
Like I said earlier, you know, as a party, we decide on the way forward, and everybody will be informed where we are going. You already heard our president talking about we are not going to participate in this Mickey Mouse contest. But I want to go back to my brother and family talking about people in the diaspora are here because of the ZANU-PF policies and all this other stuff. I mean, that is further from the truth. A lot of people are out of Zimbabwe because of the economic situations that were created by ZANU-PF, not because they want to come here and live and do all these other things. What you ZANU-PF has failed to do, they have failed to govern, which is number one, which has been acknowledged by all Africa, that even running simple elections when they had promised everybody 7 million ballots, which turned out to be false, and then they didn't have a ballot for different places. A party that has been in power, quote-unquote, for 43 years. We have no roads that are visible. We don't have any roads. If you travel the roads from Bulawayo to Cholocho, Mkai to from Lupane to Mkai, every road that you go to is dilapidated. But you see these ZANU-PF acolytes, like my brother, driving brand new vehicles and all that, because their focus is on buying cars and running elections all the time, so that they use that as distraction. We saw that there was a corruption Al Jazeera documentary that came out. It has not been addressed. We have seen a lot of corruption and everything else going on. ZANU-PF will not attend to that, but they will create all these distractions by elections that are not needed. We defeated them handily with the citizens' power. So one thing that Mr. Mfambi needs to understand is the people of Zimbabwe shall rule at the end of the day. Thank you.
Mr. Mfambi, you're hearing there what Mr. Muringa is saying, your view.
Okay, I think what he's saying is even detached from today's topic, which is the nomination court, and what is the way forward for their party. And I think I violated the way forward for our party, and that we are confident that we are going to be winning these by-elections, which are the CCC and themselves necessitated, and which vanity has no idea of how it precipitated. So from that understanding, I think it should be made clear to the public that ZANU-PF is a part of the people, and we are focused on delivering what the people, what we promised the people, and we have been delivering, we have used to a legacy of delivering to the people, and this is what the electorate can expect from us come this election. And let me emphasize this. Whenever you see a leader or a political party failing to take responsibility for their own iniquities, then it means that political party is not ready to govern. Then it means that political party is childish. Then it means that political party doesn't even know why it should exist. Because look at it now. The caller who is a member of the CCC is calling to say they are not participating in the election. But the party is no position actually what they are going to be doing with this election. So basically, you can actually see the confusion. Why the lack of structure, why the lack of centralized communication causes like to a party or to a would-be party. So basically, we are not concerned with the accusation, the same accusation, because
Thank
we
you.
Know they will come over.
Thank you there. Mr. Tim Ringa, your last word as we wrap up.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mfambi, and thank you, Sister Marvelous. Well, the one thing that I would advise our beloved Zimbabwean brothers and sisters is this. The CCC has stood for you, blood in, blood out. Our leaders have been tortured. Our leaders have been put through a lot of calls for your cause. I heard Mr. Mfambi talking about a caller talking about the elections tomorrow. That's their view. We have a democratic party, but we have the official channels that will let them know what's going to happen. So it's no confusion. We love Zimbabwe, and our president, Nelson Chamisa, has stood for you and will continue to stand for you. CCC is the party for the future of our country.
Thank you very much. There we were hearing from Mr. Tim Ringai of the CCC. We also heard from Francis Mfambi of ZANU-PF, who were discussing today preparations for the nomination court, which is expected to sit tomorrow. And Zach says they're ready. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.